beginning a new sugya in terms of the loss of the kosei, and I apologize. I think the mamakamas were sent or prepared or somewhere, but shuffle the last couple of days. I think they didn't quite make it. We're not quite a little so we'll have to do a lot more discussion about that. We begin the next sugya of kosei, so it seems to be a common refrain in terms of the malach of kosei. Whenever we talk about anything about kosei, we automatically start looking at kosei in all areas. We spend a lot of time on the comparison, or maybe the lack thereof, between kosei of Shabbos and kosei of Kippin and kosei of Kippin. So we begin the next dimension of malach of kosei. We're going to once again bring back some of those ideas. And that is the issue of Ksiva She'ema Shel Kayava. The person writes, but he writes in a way that's a temporary kind of a writing. So the Mishnah of Sefer Shabbos immediately draws a distinction between a Kosev B'Ksav Shel Kayava in contrast to a Kosev B'Ksav She'ema Shel Kayava. Kosev B'Ksav Shel Kayava, one could potentially be Chayav, a Kosev B'Ksav B'Ksav Shel Kayava is Chayav. The person writes B'Ksav She'ema Shel Kayava, he is only going to be part of it. It doesn't mean it's going to be Mutter, but it's only going to be in the Sefer Midr Rabbanan. And then the Mishnah spells out a few examples of Ksiva She'ema Shel Kayava. The Mishnah talks about a person making letters and marks with a fruit juice or something. Something that's not going to last very long. I remember as a little kid, you go to public, as a little kid, we used to play tic-tac-toe in the chicken gravy on the bottom of the plate. My mother was thrilled that we used to do. So those are all examples of kosei bekteira, things of that nature. It would only be a violation of the Rabbanan of kosei. Sometimes we used to play the tic-tac-toe on the window, and the window would freeze over a little bit. So, again, those are all examples of things that are not going to last probably all that long. In order to be chayav in a Torah, it has to be a ksiva shel kayava. This Mishnah that appears in Masechet Shabbos that differentiates between ksav shel kayama and ksav she'ema shel kayama appears almost verbatim in Masechet Gittin also. Also discussing the definition of tziva, but they are concerning a get, as the Chosmos and Krisos. The Mishnah said, you have to write a get in something which is a Ksav Shel Kayama. Write again in something that's going to disappear very soon. The get is no good in the Torah. And the same kinds of ingredients, same kinds of dyes that are considered to be permanent in Shabbos, make the same way in the Masechet Gittin. The Mishnah lists all 3 or 4 different types of dyes. And the same kinds of fruit juices and those kind of stuff that are given as examples of Eidosh HaVayam and Shabbos, almost verbatim appear in Masechet Gittin. So our initial reaction to the entire sugya is, it seems like it's pretty much identical. The third area of Halacha and Tuzik Ksiva Sefer Torah, Tulum Mezuzas, is not really discussed, at least at this stage, because when it comes to Ksiva Sefer Torah, Tulum Mezuzas, it's not enough just to be permanent, it has to be actually a specific color. The Gemara tells us that there's a Halacha Lamosha Mesinai that it's Yo, is necessary. You have to write Sefer Torah Tulum Mezuzah with ink. So you can't begin to discuss writing with fruit juice if you have to write with dyo. Even though there is a machlekes, Rambam and the Rosh, about what do we mean when we say dyo? Does dyo mean a very, very specific type of dyo? There's certain ingredients that have to go in. Or as the Rambam says, dyo just means it has to be black. And you can't write Sefer Torah in green, red, purple, gold ink, even if it lasts forever. Because Allah Moshe, it's got to be look like dyo. It's got to look like ink, black on white. So when it comes to Sefer Torah, it's one of those that whole Mishnah that discusses the green ink and the red ink and the purple ink, that's not going to appear in Sefer Torah, it's one of those. But at least in terms of both of the Shabbos and in terms of the Gittin, so the Mishnah is clear that any color ink would be kosev, provided that ink is above a Shel Kayama. So the halachas of Kayama seem to be pretty much the same for Gittin and for Masechet Shabbos. However, when the Mishnah talks about writing with a Davar Shel Kayama, the Mishnah is focusing only on the ink itself. What about the background? What about the paper, the parchment? What about the background that you're writing on? Must that be Shel Kayama also? Let's say I write on something and that item is going to crumble up in the next couple of hours, next couple of days. Would that qualify as kosev or not? I could hear smoke. I could hear that. Well, at the end of the day, there's not going to be anything here. So in a few hours from now, the whole thing's going to be gone. Going to be out for the ara. So then maybe one could argue that that's also what guy says. But maybe one could differentiate and say no. Now that's almost tangential. When there's something, the chisaron is in the ink proper, so then you could argue that's called the ksiva shena shokhayama. When the ink itself is shokhayama, it's just as something totally external that's disappearing, that's not permanent. Maybe that's not mafkir the Shem Kosev. So be sure I could hear one present different angles of the Shiloh. So what is it? So the Mishnah is silent about this. The Gemara is silent about this, but there's a Tosefta about this. So the Tosefta, both in Masechet Shabbos and in Masechet Gittin, is talking about this topic. What's the background of the Tosefta, or why does the Tosefta talk about such a bizarre case? A guy's writing a get on something that's going to crumple up in a few minutes from now. What kind of Magna story is this? So the purpose of the Tosefta, background of the Tosefta, we have to learn a sugya in the Masechet Gittin first, and just speak out the sugya Shalom. So we'll learn it together a little bit outside, and then we'll begin to appreciate where the Tosefta is coming from, and then actually how this does not relate back to Masechet Shabbos. The Tosefta is commenting on the Mishnah in the second parak of Masechet Gittin, where the Mishnah quotes there was a major machlekes atanoi between Rabbi Yosi Gluli and the Rav Halan. See what I mean? And you major a little bit cynically in a moment. Your Mishnah talks about two very, very bizarre cases of writing a get. Person writes a get either on somebody that's alive. So the person writes a get on a cow. That's one of the examples that the Mishnah says. Guy decides he's going to present his wife with a cow for the get. So he writes the homeless get on the cow and hands her over the cow. That's one strange machlokes. Then there's another strange machlokes. He writes a get on a pizza, on a slice of bread. Those are writes a get on a piece of food. So either one of those two things, is the get good or not? So the Mishnah calls the machlokes the Rabbi Yosi Gluli and the Rabbana. The Rabbi Yosi Gluli holds that the get is possible in the Torah. Either the get written on the cow is possible, or the get written on the slice of bread is possible. And the Rabbanan said, oh, it's perfectly kosher l'chetchila. There's nothing wrong with the get. Just because it's written on something that's alive, just because it's written on something that's food, that's lo bala lo bala. So the example, the case, seems to be somewhat strange, highly unlikely scenarios, but the halachic principle, the underlying principle behind the machlekes is relevant. I mean, the case is important, but the underlying principle is even more important. The Gemara explains that the machlekes of Yosef Gluli and the Rabbanan really boils down to literally how to read pshat, how to tie chop and translate a word in the Chumash. The word in the Chumash that describes the get itself. The Torah uses the word get as an Aramaic word. Obviously, that word doesn't appear in the Chumash. But the Torah describes the get as being a sefer krisus. A sefer krisus. So how do you translate those words, sefer? So krisus, we know krisus, courage, the chrov, to separate those in a life. So that we understand what the word krisus is. What do the words sefer mean? So there was machlekes of Yosi and the Rabban, how to translate the word sefer. So Rabbi Yosi Gluli was of the opinion that sefer means a book. Sefer means, like it means in some other point, like sefer Torah, this is parashat sefer Torah. So sefer means a halachic book. What is the meaning of a halachic book? So Rabbi Yosi Gluli says that whenever we find the word sefer in Tanakh, so sefer always refers to writing something on parchment, writing on cloth. You write the sefer Torah on cloth, other descriptions, things are written on cloth. That was the normal way to write a sefer. It's not in Torah. You write on parchment. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi Gluli says that that's what sefer means by get also. Because of a sefer krisus, you have to write it on parchment again. So Rabbi Yosi Gluli himself goes next step and he says, but Lamai says not true. It's in his own postman. You can write a get on paper also, the Mishnah says. Everybody agrees to that. You can write a get on a piece of wood. How could Rabbi Yosi Gluli translate the word sefer to mean parchment? Rabbi Yosi Gluli says, it must be that the Tashu Apez, mind the other thing. It must be, even though the word sefer in Chumash sounds like a very, very specific connotation of Dr. Klav, it must be we have some tradition to include other things. Where did the tradition come from? So chasav la mikol makom. The Torah says chasav la sefer krisus, chasav la dugo tekan riboy. The inclusion, even though the Torah says sefer, and even though I would have mistakenly limited the writing of a get dafka to a piece of cloth, kamashuan comes, the jesikon comes to special pen and explains to us the chasav la rabos kol davar. So then Rabbi Yosi Gluli turns around. If you're learning Rabbi Yosi Gluli's yeshiva, this is what they will be talking about at 12:30 in the morning. So Rabbi Yosi Gluli then turns around to ask himself on himself a kasha. I just got finished telling you that sefer means cloth. Then I just conceded to everybody else that you can write whatever you want. So why does the Torah call it a cloth? What's the significance of being a cloth? Rabbi Yosi Gluli says, cloth doesn't mean it has to be literally cloth. Cloth means that whatever you choose to write on has to have certain characteristics similar to cloth. It has to be almost like cloth, not Tamish cloth. If not for the Gzeres HaKosav, the Chosav Lo, the Rabos
on kol davar, then it would have been mamish klaf. It's sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, you don't write on wood, you don't write on paper. It has to be dafka on klaf. But the sefer kriyas of the getzes of Yosef Lili, we include other things, but it's got to be in the parsha. It's got to be on at least in the ballpark of klaf. If it's so fundamentally different than klaf, then it's no good. So now, how do you figure out which qualities make something similar and which qualities make something different? We've seen this theme in learning all the time. Whenever we learn the Sefer Shabbos in the last 3 years, we've always seen this principle called, well, that has to be similar to Mishkan. How similar to Mishkan is similar? So which characteristics of Mishkan are important and which are irrelevant? You have to really, really understand Torah properly. You have to understand the nature, the essence of what's important, what's an important characteristic and what's not an important characteristic. It's like Lavlik. You have to, people are made up of a lot of personality traits, a lot of character traits. So when you have to figure out what's an important part of that person, what's not an important part of the person. Everyone has some good things, some bad things. What's intrinsic to the person? What's external to the person? So too, when you understand the dinya Torah, you have to understand which dimensions of the halacha are critical, which are not. Which characteristics of this particular din are important, which are not. So we're trying. We're also really trying to analyze. We're walking a tightrope here. On the one hand, we're not limiting the ksivas again dafka to klaf. On the other, it's got to be similar to klaf. One of the characteristics of klaf that we have to focus on that are going to go into an effect disqualify everything that's not similar to klaf. So we have to really came up with two ideas. And really says, one thing I can tell you, klaf is not alive. Klaf is not walking around. It's a davar she'ein bo ruach chayim. And number two, klaf is not food. You don't make a sandwich and put a piece of klaf and some tuna fish in it. Klaf is not edible. So it comes with Yosef Lulian says, anything that has either one of those two characteristics missing would not be acceptable for a get and a love of geraisa. If it's either ochud, it's either food, like a slice of bread, a slice of pizza, get ready to get on, or if it's ruach chayim, if it's a cow walking spaziering around, you can't ride on the back of the cow, even though if you think about it, the cloth is the back of the cow. That kolzman the cow is alive, it's a ruach chayim. Kolzman the cow is dead, which can ruach chayim, then only then it becomes a cloth. So according to the Yosef, you want to write on wood, on paper, and other things, that's fine. You want to write on a piece of food, or you want to write on a cow, that's going to be a problem. This is all Rabbi Yosef Lili's view. So we give a lot of time to Rabbi Yosef Lili's view, but we don't accept the Yosef. We pass it like the Chachamim. Why do we pass it like the Chachamim? The Chachamim say, you can write on a live cow, you can write on a slice of pizza, you can write on a potato chip, whatever you want to write on, you can write again. What? Big potential. What is a big potential for small names? So why are you allowed to write all these things according to the Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan fundamentally disagreed with Yosef Lili's whole premise. They say the word sefer doesn't mean klaf. The word sefer doesn't even mean book. You know what the word sefer means? Sefer means the sphere is the varmudi also. Sefer means a story. The chos of a sefer krisis means write the story of the separation. What should you write it on? Marshal Zakur and Kelas, you want to write it whatever you want to write it. No, there is no dinner you have to write on. Sefer Krisis doesn't mean what it meant. Sefer Krisis means our story. You write the story, whatever. You scribble your story on. You want to scribble it on the back of a cow, you want to scribble it on a potato chip, you want to scribble it on a piece of wood, a piece of paper, a piece of parchment, whatever you scribble it on, it's fine. That's called the writing of a story. There never was a dinner of Sefer. So the other thing Lily started out thinking there was a dinner of Sefer. Then the Tershim Apek qualified that by saying, well, Sefer's Lav Dafka. Then we re-qualify the Lav Dafka by saying, well, it's Lav Dafka, but it's almost Dafka. That's the real thing. We were sheeting with Spoda later. And the Rabbanan said, the whole thing is Lahayas Barbiel. The whole thing is not true. So we Lav Dafka accept the view of the Rabbanan. That's what the Ran writes in Maseches Gittin. As we find in the Mishnah, Maseches Gittin, we have to write the names of the people of the get. If you look at the Chumash, it just says, V'chos Olas Evikrisis, just write the issue of the divorce. So I would thought that in the Torah, you take me the paper, you're right. I read what that's called, and you end up your wife and finish. You don't have to say who you are, you don't have to say she in the Chumash. You have to identify yourself, you have to identify your wife. The Rabbi writes, he thinks, no, he thinks that in the Torah, Hashem was beginning of the Araisa. What's the source that Hashem was beginning of the Araisa? We spent so much time, most of the complexities of writing again to figure out how the world is spelling everybody's name. Why is the writing of the name so important? The Ran said, because the Torah calls to get a story. We possibly to about it's a safer, it's a sipur dvar. Imagine if you wrote a book and you didn't identify any of the characters. You just, you write a book, he went to the store. Who's he? He went to the store, she went to the store. It would be a very, very, very difficult book to read. You wouldn't know he was or she was. So the Ran said that the Torah describes it as a story. A story means it's got to be a little bit of a plot, a little bit of a development, a little bit of arichos and dvarim. It's almost like the Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim writes that why is it that when it comes to Pesach night, you have to say all the details of the story. You have to tell over we used to be avodim, now we're free. You got to give machzor b'gedus b'sham b'shevach. All year long, when you mention the Tiff Mitzrayim, you don't have to give a whole background. You just say, Pesach Mitzrayim, and call it a night. Call it a day. Why is it that Pesach night, you got to elaborate on the details? So Rav Chaim says, because on Pesach night, it's a mitzvah sefer, not the sapper. You got to talk. It's not a zechira. Zechira means just a quick mention. So for a zechira, you could say, you went to the store. For a story, who went to the store? Why did you go to the store? What's the background? Why went to the store? Yeah, otherwise, it's going to be when your kid gets to the side, it's going to have a 200-word story. Otherwise, there's nothing to it. So you have to have a development of a plot. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. There's a whole story to the story. So that's what the Ram thing here also. We ask him at Sefer, Sefer Devarim, you have to identify who the people are in this particular story. So getting back to this, getting back to our real story of the story. So within the view of Rabbi Yosef, that we don't pass him, like, the Mishnah begins to discuss what would be some examples of things that you couldn't write again on. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah is trying to give you an example of a food. So I gave some food, some pizzas and potato chips, so the Mishnah doesn't give that as a food, obviously. The Mishnah says, for example, if you would try to write the get on an olos shalzayis, if you try to write the get on an olive leaf, apparently an olive leaf is edible, not the grapefruit, you can move down, don't they? It's grapefruit, olive leaf. So those are edible things. So the Mishnah begins to discuss the possibility of writing it again on olos shalzayis. That's the example that the Mishnah says, according to the Rabban, that would be okay. But according to the Mishnah, clearly that would be a problem. We follow the Rabban. We hold the theory you can write again on olos shalzayis. So this was now this is where the Tosefta comes in. This is all the introduction of the introduction to Egeret Nafti Maseches Shabbos via Derech Maseches Gittin. Comes the Tosefta and says, you want to write an olos shalzayis, that's perfectly okay. But, the Tosefta says, don't think I'm going to give you a green light to write on all leaves. Some leaves here and some leaves no. Those leaves that are shalkiyah, the leaves that are going to last for a long time, olos shalzayis is going to never check. An olos shalzayis, you take it off the tree and leave it around, it's going to last for a long time. It's not going to shrivel up so fast. But olos shal yirakos, what if you have it, it's little shvitch coming out of the top of the carrot or something. You have a tiny piece of lettuce or something. Things shal yirakos, which are edible, which tend to dry up very quickly and they shrivel up. There's nothing left in them anymore. The Kavzim Gemara says, olos shal yirakos would not be acceptable even according to the Chachamim. Why? As the Chachamim say, you can write on food. So the Tosefta says, you can write on food, but you have to write on something that's shal kayama. And if something's going to disintegrate after a little bit of time, you have to find how little that time is. Something's going to fall apart after a little bit of time. That's called an eino shel kayama. And an eino shel kayama would be a problem even according to the Rabbanan. According to basically the moot discussion. According to the Rabbanan, we're usually lenient to let you write on leaves. Certainly is yes, certainly is no. That's what it says in the Tosefta in Maseches Gittin. So the Tosefta in Gittin is making an assumption that the definition of ksiva shel kayama not only affects the ink, like when the Mishnah presents, the Mishnah only addresses the ink issue. The Tosefta adds on, it's not just you don't just have to question whether the ink is kayama, you have to question whether the background, whether the quote-unquote cloth is kayama also. And if the leaf is going to disappear, the background is going to disappear, the get would not be acceptable. So finally, it took 20 minutes, but finally, we appreciate, hopefully, that the chiddush of the Tosefta from the Tanoim, and the Tanoim of the Tosefta, that the Tosefta's opinion is that kayama covers not just the ink being kayama, but it covers the background being kayama as well. So there is, once again, almost an identical Tosefta in Maseches Shabbos. When the Mishnah says in Shabbos, a kosev iksav shel kayama is chayav, and shel kayama is patur. So the Tosefta adds also the same tizmit. It says, not only must the ink be shel kayama, the background has to be shel kayama as well. So if you put together, there are four statements in Chazal about kayama. There's a Mishnah in Gittin that talks about the ink being kayama. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos that talks about the ink being kayama. The Sefta Gittin talks about the background being kayama. The Sefta Shabbos, the background being kayama. Sounds like all four dinim are all saying the same thing. That both for the purposes of Ksivan Shabbos and the purposes of Ksivan Gittin, shel kayama is an absolute critical factor, and there are two aspects, two dimensions of shel kayama, both ink and background. So it sounds like those things is a no-brainer. Everything is simple, straightforward. That's what Taisa said. Taisa quotes this Taisa and get there in Shabbos. Taisa says even though it doesn't appear in the Mishnah, but the din is true anyway. The din is true in both cases. That's all. Everything we said, all four cases, all four statements are true. However, we open up a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, and then we reopen another Rambam in Hilchos Gittin. Here, should all of a sudden we come to a little bit of a different understanding. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah, and only quotes the Sasha Kayama with the ink of Kayama is Chayav. And the Rambam also quotes the Tesefta and says, Eino Chayav at Yichdov, bid Dovram is Kayim, al Dovram is Kayim. The Rambam is very clear, like Taisa, the quotes the Tesefta, that you must be Kayama, both assets, both dimensions, the ink and the background. When it comes to Gittin, Gavishin, the Rambam also is true to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you write in fruit juice and chicken gravy, ain't again, it's both of the Torah, garnished. And no mention is made of the fact that the background has to be Shochayim. Rambam somehow deleted, somehow left that part out of Hilchos Gavishin. Not only did the Rambam leave it out of Hilchos Gavishin, but the Rambam quotes the issue that Rabbi Yosef Lulu did a bottle of arguing about, named the coast of his Aget, Allah Shodayas. If you write again on an olive leaf, so that we pass like the abundance is going to be okay. But the Rambam doesn't just quote a kos of Allah Olah Shozai. The Rambam writes a kos of Allah Olah, a raise get. The Rambam writes, we write on leaves. It's okay. Leaves means lettuce leaves and cabbage leaves and any other kind of leaves, vegetable leaves, anything. I is going to disintegrate. That's exactly what it tells us to set stop. Now, not all leaves are good. Only certain leaves are good. Some yes, some no. The Rambam left out the Tosefta, and Davka did not differentiate which kind of leaves you could write again on. Seemed to indicate, from the Rambam seems to be indicating to us, that Tosefta somehow wasn't accepted. So now we're in a little bit of a pickle. If you want to be consistent and say, listen, the Tosefta doesn't appear in the Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah didn't mention it, was it disagrees with it. We follow the Mishnah over the Tosefta, and you want to tell me that Kayam is defined by ink, not by background, I would have had no problems with that. You want to quote the Tosefta and tell me, no, the Tosefta wasn't arguing in the Mishnah, the Tosefta was adding what the Mishnah left out, that's also fine. But you want to quote half of the Tosefta, not the other half of the Tosefta. You only quote the Tosefta vis-a-vis Shabbos and some of vis-a-vis Gittin, it got lost in the shuffle. That doesn't seem to be consistent. So what's trying to shake this around? It doesn't seem to make any sense. What's the difference? Define, can you say? It says, the Chosim of Sevek Rizos. And the Allah of and Sinai is that Kaysim is one of the Allah of the Allah. So either Kosev depends upon a background, it doesn't depend on the background. What in the world is the difference? Why is the Ram quote one bit of Chayam in one and not by the other? So the Prichadosh in Hilchos Gittin, so the Prichadosh was written by a Svadi Rav who lived in Egypt. His name was Chizkiah de Silva. That's a real classic Svadi name, Chizkiah de Silva. So he disagreed very often with certain stuff in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Pri Chodosh gives a lomdash beer. He gives us a brisk beer in this Pri Chodosh, the way before brisk. In a world without a follower from brisk you can get, and he gave a brisk attire to explain this. He's mechavin to explain it to the Rambam. So comes the Pri Chodosh and says, there are two dinim of Enosh HaKoyim. There are two different aspects of Enosh HaKoyim. That sometimes the din of Enosh HaKoyim is a part of the very definition of Kaysev Mamish. The word Kaysev, you look up in Halachapedia and say, how do you define Kaysev? Kaysev means writing in a permanent manner. That the permanent Kayama Shabbat is sometimes an integral part of the very shame of Kaysev. And there's another halach of Kayama, which is not a din that permeates all of Kaysev. Rather, there's a secondary halacha that our famous words, Molech is Machshev is Osa Torah. In order to be Chayav on Shabbos, it has to be a very constructive, very positive, very almost Mishkan oriented. If a person writes something that here today, gone in 10 minutes from now, Osa Molech is Machshev. There was so much effort went into that, so much mind. If you were so smart, you would have written something that would have lasted for more than 10 minutes. Osa Molech is Machshev. There's nothing to it. Nishkin Shabbos. It's a din prati of Shabbos that Eilish HaKoyama just doesn't make the mark. So there are two potential reasons, says the Pri Chodosh, why we have to potentially disqualify temporary writing. is because it's just not called Kaysev, it's just a chisar in the Esem Shem Kaysev. What you did is not Kaysev. Kaysev doesn't just mean taking a pen and putting a pen to a piece of paper. It means creating something of some significance, something of some permanence to it. Sometimes we have to analyze Sugi from that vantage point, and sometimes we have to analyze the Sugi just plain and simple from Lachat Moshe. It comes to be Chadish and says that when there's something wrong with the ink itself, when there's some chisar in the ink proper, the ink is the kosev. The kosev is the reshivas ha'otis. The kosev is not what you're writing on. The fact that you chose to write on a piece of paper, you chose on a piece of cloth, that's just the hechitimta. That's just technical. If you don't have a background, you're going to have, we call literally, oh, this product is the avir. The real kosev, the melechus kosev is nikra al-shem the osios, kosev beza osios. It's the ink. That's the real essence. That's the essence of the Baruch of Kosev. The background is almost kind of tangential. You need it. You need it. You don't have it. You don't have to read the letters that you wrote. You didn't write anything, so the letters don't show up. But in terms of the etzem aksiva, the etzem aksiva is only the osios. Therefore, says the Bichadosh, that when we're discussing, was there an act of Kosev done? Did it meet the criteria of the halakhic definition of kosev? Was it permanent or not? So the only question you have to ask yourself is, did you use permanent ink? Is the ink a type of an ink that was going to last for a significant amount of time, and we haven't yet defined what permanent significant means? If it's a type of an ink that's going to last for X amount of time, for a time that halakhically is qualified as kayoma, if the answer to that question is yes, then you did a maaseh kosev. That's what kosev. Is the background kayoma? Not kayoma. You know, who's talking about background? I'm being down on the etzem shem kosev. So to fulfill the condition of the etzem shem kosev, if the ink is permanent, that's sufficient. And that's why it says the Bichadosh in Hilchas Gittin, that's the only question that you have to ask yourself. Did you use ink that was permanent? If you used ink that was permanent, you could write on a piece of lettuce that's going to disintegrate in 20 minutes from now. It doesn't matter. Mitzad the ink, mitzad the kosher itself, did you fulfill Mashakosa Matar Bechosa on Sefer Prisos? Absolutely. The Tosefta is not correct. We don't follow the Tosefta. It's against the Mishnah. It can't be true, because there's no reason for it to be true. Why should there be a din that the background has to be put? But when we enter into the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, says the Bichadosh, we have a whole other fact to take into consideration. In Hilchos Shabbos, it's not enough to ask yourself the question, did you write? Did you do kosev? There's much more than did you do kosev. Did you accomplish melachas machshavas? So the answer is that you did not accomplish melachas machshavas, because at the end of the day, in 20 minutes, you have nothing to show. What's the difference whether you have nothing productive to show because the ink faded, or you have nothing productive to show because your lettuce disintegrated? At the end of the day, that's the chisor of melachas machshavas. That's why the Rambam had no qualms quoting the Tosefta of Shabbos. So that makes a lot of sense. It's a fellow that's a Tosefta. The Tosefta took the din of background, which is really not a din of the Etz Maksiva, which is really just a din of Malachat Machsheves, and plugged it into Gittin. Also, Gittin, there is no din of Malachat Machsheves. But Gittin, we're only asking one question. Is it kosev or not? But there's one question, there's one answer. Is it kosev? Answer. Look at ink. If the ink is permanent, then it's called kosev. When it's Shabbos, you have to ask two questions. Is it kosev? Yes. Is it Malachat Machsheves? No. If you get a no to one of those two questions, then you're not going to be chayav in Shabbos. So that's a beautiful shtickle Torah from the Pirkei Chodesh to explain the Shittas Rambam and why conceptually the standards of kosev of kayoma are different in Shabbos. That one is a function just of the ink itself, and the other is a function of the background also, because in Hilchos Gittin we're just being down on is it a nice ksiva. For the Shabbos, we're being down on an additional factor, namely is it also Malachas Machshavas.
If my purpose in writing is to communicate, why does it make a difference whether as long as I get the message to you 10 seconds later?
You're already mechaber to Rashba. I want to communicate for how long do I want to communicate for? If I wanted to communicate to you for 10 seconds, I could have told it to you. If I put it into writing, that means I want it to be communicable for longer than 10 seconds. That's exactly you mechaber to the Rashba. So hope this is the Pichadosh and Shittas Rambam. According to Tosfos, who quotes the Tosefta, both in Gittin and Shabbos, clearly Tosfos doesn't buy into the story. Why is that? Why is it that, according to Tosfos, who accepted the halacha of the Tosefta, why is it that if you write a get on a lettuce, which is going to disappear in a few minutes, why is it not considered to be a get? There's no din of halacha of Machshavas there. could it be that Taisa and the Rambam are arguing about the very essence of the definition of Ksiva? So according to the Rambam, we put a lot of emphasis on the ink and put very, very little emphasis on the background. The background was almost tangential. The background was almost a never. If I could have figured out a way to write without leaving a background, that would have been great, according to the Rambam. You just can't do that. There's no way to do that. You can't write without a background. So therefore, you need a background there for purely technical reasons, but the essence of Ksiva is the Osir. Could it be that Tosfos is redefining Ksiva for us? Could it be that Tosfos is saying that, no. The background is an integral part of Kosev. The Melechus Kosev is defined as putting letters on a background. When you have Osir's Pochus Ba'afir, or perhaps Osir's Pochus on a computer screen somewhere, we'll get to that a little later, maybe that's not called Kosev. Maybe that's according to the Rambam, that's called Kosev. It's just, don't have a text, you can't read it because there's nothing technically missing. Maybe according to Tosfos, the background is an integral part of the Melacha. If the background is an integral part of the Melacha, maybe that's to be Shechayam also. So we have some food for thought in terms of some of the very definitions, in terms of what Kosev is all about. But again, so I'll call upon again, back to our basic question. The fact that there's a din of Shechayama, the fact that there's a requirement of Kayama, that's true. The fact that the ink has to be Kayama, that's also true. The fact that the background has to be Kayama, at least in Shabbos, that's also true. Whether that spills over to Gittin, that's highly questioned. But we're talking about our official end time, so
we have
another a couple of minutes. Okay. 2 minutes. Okay. So everybody agrees, at least to some point, there is some halacha of kayama playing out. Both in Shabbos and Gittin, whether they're identical or not is questionable. But everyone agrees there's some idea of kayama playing out. Next question we have to raise is, how kayama is kayama? What's considered to be permanent? I mean, nothing is, except for Torah and Kedusha and Shema, nothing is kayama yolam, but nothing in this world is kayama yolam. But so the question is, at what point do we say something is met the criteria of being kayama? At what point? So you may remember back to when we spoke to Melechus Tseveya, about the Melechus dyeing, coloring, the Rambam had a unique shita in terms of defining kayama. The Rambam used it both in terms of Tseveya and in terms of Melechus Kosev. The Rambam says that the definition of kayama means it's got to last till Shabbos is over. That's called kayama, which is, of course, a very, very difficult shita to understand, because what it makes it sound like, it's going to depend on what time of Shabbos you're running. If you did a melacha at 10 o'clock on Friday night, it's got to last 22 hours. If you did a melacha at 7:18, it's mashkia on Shabbos afternoon, it's got to last for 60 seconds. That's a very, very hard type of halacha to understand. That's what the Ram sounds like. That's the life of the Ram sounds like. That's the shiur of Kayam. It's got to be melacha of Kayam, it's for Shabbos. What's even somewhat more troubling, of course, as she did the Rambam, is that we just got finished saying that there's some kind of a din of Anish of Kayam by Kitten also. Whether the Rambam had it in a limited sense, in a more extensive sense, there's definitely some kind of a din of Anish HaKayama by Kitten. It's a Mishnah. What's the shiur then? How do you define whether something is Kayama? It's going to last till Shabbos? I'm running again on Tuesday. What does Shabbos do with anything? Obviously, according to the Rambam, the definition of Kayama and Kitten has to be different from Shabbos. The problem is that all the examples are the same. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah gives the example of permanent ink and not permanent ink. And here are some examples of non-permanent writing in Mashkin and the Paris. The Mishnah, as I said before, it's almost verbatim, almost identical in terms of descriptions, of at least illustrations of what's Kayama and Shabbos. But according to what we're saying, the cloud is really very different. The shear, the way to calculate, to measure whether you have Kayama or not, is really a very, very different clock. Because Shabbos depends on each and every person, what part of the day Shabbos he's writing. And it can't be more than 24. If it's already 24 hours, then Choladeus, it's already called Kayama. Whereas the Gittin, so that whole number doesn't seem to make any sense. That's corresponding to Shabbos, to the day. The whole thing doesn't seem to make any sense. So it's hard to understand what the parallel of Gittin would be according to the Rambam. What forced the Rambam to this conclusion? Where did he get the idea from? We got it from a Mishnah in the 12th parak of a set of Shabbos. But the Mishnah says, anyone who does malacha, the malacha lasts throughout the Shabbos, then we're going to be chayev. So that's the source of the Rambam, and we know for a fact that Rishon HaLevi disagreed. Because Rashi and that Mishnah says that Mishnah is not even talking about kayama. That Mishnah happens to be talking about the context of Makkah B'Patish. According to Rashi, what that Mishnah means is like this. If you do a malacha, and it's the final, it's the end of the malacha, and there's nothing else for you to add to this malacha, that's what it means, because also malach with kayam, it means you're done, you're finished. There's nothing else you're going to add to this, no more bang, then you just violated Machmir Batish. If you didn't finish up the final touch yet, that's not Machmir Batish. Because the whole definition of Malachas Machmir Batish is called Tigmarically, theoretically, the Tigmar Mother. According to Rashi, that Mishnah is not even talking about the principle of Kayam. It's like by Rashi and Rashan, the word Kayam. The Kayam means different things in different contexts. So the Kayam means to fulfill, the Kayam means to last forever, the Kayam means to Cheshivas. The word Kayam means a lot of different things. So according to the Rambam, that Mishnah is talking about the time on the clock, how long, how permanent the Malach has to be. According to the Rashi, the Mishnah is not even talking about that. But according to Rashi, so Taka, what is the Shia? What is the amount? So if it's not that, Taka, how long is it? So unclear. So we have to go back to your Hagdara. We have to figure out, well, if it's Malach and Machshava is kind of oriented, so shouldn't it make sense that it has to be around for it to accomplish its purpose? What is the purpose? The purpose is to communicate. So how long is that communication? So we have to go back to people's minds a little bit and try to figure out, when I write something, what's the plan? What's the goal? What's the intention? What's the normal goal? What's the derech ha'olam to write for? Hopefully, it's Hashem. Come on, right? Come on. Hopefully, yes, I, like many other people, were getting ready to say Burachim yesterday by, and they even set out some of the shuls. Screamed out, they thought they were taking out from Monday and Thursday. It's a lot of confusion. The way it is. So, if we mention tomorrow, you have to pick up on this Nakuda. If you don't go with the Rambam's Hagdara, then you're forced to look for another kind of definition of the measurement. So, we have to figure out what in the world that other measurement is. Also mentioned tomorrow.